Well, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms, the Sefer Telachim, or the Book of Sung Praises, that we hear at each and every holy sacrifice of the Mass. Today, we're looking at Psalm 136, which, of course, is in Book 5 of the Psalms, Psalms 107 to 150. Psalm 136 has no attribution. It's not sons of Korah or David or, Jeduthun or Asaph or any of those guys. No attribution to this psalm. And this psalm is very interesting because it's very much antiphonal. It doesn't have an antiphon per se, but every other line is the same line, right? So it almost sounds like an antiphon. You know, it's actually a beautiful meditation on how God works in salvation history, right? So I want to go through part of this psalm today. It's too long for us to cover this. We'll have to break it up into two sections. But I want to go through this with you because I think it's very, very beautiful. And this is one of the psalms that I meditate on in adoration because of the antiphon that's over and over again. It just lifts my heart. So let's dive in. Again, if you were using the Revised Grail Psalms, right? The Psalms that are going to be incorporated into the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass that was translated by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. All right, so verse 1, and there's no prescript again for this. It just starts with verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. All right, so that is the antiphonal line, for his mercy endures forever. Now, in the previous version of the Grail Psalms, it said, for his love endures forever. I've even seen translation says, for his great love is without end. All beautiful. All beautiful. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, the word there for mercy is hesed. Hesed. So, for example, when we talk about love, right? In the New Testament, there's basically four different types of love in the Greek, right? There's agape, which is the translation like we use now for sacrificial love, a self-giving love, a love that dies to self. That's the deepest kind of covenant type of love is agape. And the word in Hebrew there is hesed. Hesed is merciful love, all right? And so the word here for his mercy endures. So you can use mercy, you can use love, you can use merciful love. Or as I mentioned, that other translation said great love. All good, I think, are all fine translations of hesed, which again in the Greek is the agape type of love. And then you have ahava, which is philia in Greek, which is the friendship type of love. And then you have raham, which is the physical love, right? The physical, essential type of love. All right, so let's continue. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. So the first strophe here is giving thanks to the Lord. And look at I love this. Lord, God, Lord. Right? And what does that remind me of? At Mass, right? One of the options is, besides the Confiteor, are the tropes, right? Or just the Lord have mercy in Greek, right? Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Kyrie eleison, Christi eleison, Kyrie eleison. So this the first strophe of Psalm 136 has that kind of feel to it. Give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to God, give thanks to the Lord, right? Kind of that feel for the penitential rite at Mass. All right, it continues. Now, it talks about giving thanks to God. Now it talks about some of the attributes of God, who alone has wrought marvelous works, for his mercy endures forever. Who in wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. Who spread the earth on the waters, for his mercy endures forever. And I just love that repeating line, for his mercy endures forever, for his great love is without end, for his merciful love without end, for his love is, I love that. So let's take a look at this. Who alone has wrought marvelous works? Who alone? Why? There's only one God. There's only one God, and that is the God who has wrought such incredible works. When you see all these incredible scientific discoveries in the universe, when you see cures for diseases, all of these, it was already there. You ain't discovering it. It was already, all you did was uncover what God had already created, right? We discover it. We uncover it. We don't create it, right? God did all that already. Thank you, Jesus, who in wisdom made the heavens. You heard, and this is that same word you always use me here in Hebrew, chokma, which sounds like Klingon, right? Or sapientia in the Septuagint, wisdom, whose wisdom made the heavens, right? And wisdom actually is a feminine word. Again, some people want to say, well, it's the Holy Spirit's feminine. No. Because, first of all, clearly, although it says male and female, he created them, yes. But Mary was overshadowed by the episkazo in Greek, or shikana in Hebrew, the glory presence of the Lord overshadowing her. You know, so a female entity can't get another female pregnant. It just can't happen, right? So this idea of wisdom, right? This the idea of why is a feminine word. Right, God is often sometimes talked about as a motherly love for his children. He's father, of course, but he has this also kind of this beautiful heart, this motherly love for children as well, and his wisdom. Right, this wisdom that comes forth from God, that helped to make the heavens and gives us knowledge and understanding, plunges into the depths of God, if you will, limited. Of course, right? Limited, because we're human beings. Who spread the earth on the waters, right? So again, a line that reminds you of Genesis chapter 1, right in the beginning, right? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters, right? So beautiful recollection back to the beginning of creation there. And then it continues with this kind of powerful attributes of God and his creative endeavors. It was he who made the great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule in the day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars in the night, for his mercy endures forever. All right, so here, a little bit about Jewish cosmology here. So the great lights, obviously the sun and the moon are the two great lights. And then at night, you can see the stars. Now, there was the belief back then that the moon was its own light source. Of course, we know that that's true now that the sun is reflecting the light of the moon. And actually, people say, well, that's what the Bible is wrong. No, the Bible is about salvation history, not, the scientific history. But if you look at Revelation 12, we see that talks about the Blessed Mother, the woman with the crown of 12 stars around her head, clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, right? Why is the moon under her feet and that she's clothed with the sun? Because she reflects the sun, right? See, Mary reflects her sun just like the moon reflects the sunlight, right? So there's a beautiful connection there. So don't worry about the creationists that try to say things like, well, see, this is why the Bible is wrong because, the moon is not its own light source. But when you look at it, when you think back in those ancient days, they didn't have telescopes or anything like that. It looked like it was own light source, right? I don't think that's a big deal at all. But the important thing, it is God who created that.
Well, and that's why I'm a sucker for a sunrise and a sunset, because it's that moment where it's just the most breathtaking. You know, if you're at the beach, you can't tell where the water and the sky, end, or, if it's like early morning, especially like when the time changes, if your routine is the same, you get to see more of the sunrise. So as I drive towards it, it goes down and then I get to watch it come back up again. depending upon the commute I take. But it is those moments of just pure awe, just God with his canvas, and he just paints what he wants.
Exactly right. And love with the colors in the sky during a sunset as well.
Mm-hmm.
So many people even if you're not a person of faith, that does something to you when you see the beauty of God's creation working like that.
For real.
Right? Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right. And now, it goes to this, you know, giving thanks to God. Then it talks about some of the marvelous things that God has done in creation. Then it talks about how God enters into history to save us, right? So it continues at verse 10. The firstborn of the Egyptians he smote, for his mercy endures forever. He brought Israel out from their midst, for his mercy endures forever. With mighty hand and outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. Right, so now it moves into God, stretching out his hand to save his people. Love that.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.